Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Cavender, and with me as always is frickin' Dave and Amanda. Randy will be joining us shortly. How are you two doing today?
Good.
Fabulous, or if to channel my Randy, Wunderball. How are you, Justin?
Fantastic, Dave. Thank you for asking. And today we actually have a special guest. And I'm happy to say that Mr. Darren Murphy has joined us. And if you recognize that name, that's because you're a big fan of the sci-fi web series called Timekeeper. Mr. Darren, how the hell are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you guys doing?
Great, 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 great. We're all fabulous. That's what we do. Even when we're having a lousy day, as soon as we all get on a podcast together, it all turns around and it's all rainbows and gummies and fun things like that.
I can imagine it's a very cathartic experience. I listened to some of it, and I experienced some of that just like tangentially, just, you know, yeah.
Yes. We blow our load all over people's faces, or ears.
There you go. That's like the succinct, better way to say it than I said it, so thank you.
I like it. So, Timekeeper, let's talk about this show, okay? It is a sci-fi web series that follows a guy named Mitch. He travels through time. He doesn't remember where or how it all started, and let's see, he also, every time he goes back, he leaves his memory behind. So it pretty much sucks to be this guy. And right. In your press release, it's kind of like if freaking Quantum Leap were to have a baby with some other sci-fi adventure. I forget what the other one was.
With Memento.
With Memento, that's right. Yeah. Where with the short-term memory loss type of deal, yeah, it would pretty much be this show.
Yeah, that's how it, you know. And I always preface that by saying I hate elevator pitches because you got to squash everything into an acorn and say, here's what my idea is. It's this and that that already exists, and I squash it together, and that sounds unoriginal, but it kind of gives you the gist off the bat, and that's right. It's helpful. So yeah, it's kind of like a darker time traveling story, and he loses his memory. He's given a mission, and but you know. As a character who doesn't remember things, he can't progress. So like anyone in that situation, you look for instant gratification. I'm going to go out and I'm going to hit on every girl that walks down the street with the exact same line. Doesn't matter. Didn't work. Oh, well, okay. Next one. And that's kind of where he's at in episode one.
Perfect. So speaking of episode one, there's actually, so far we have two seasons. The first season is 6 episodes. The second season is 10. And now you are pitching the third season on Indiegogo. How's that working out for you guys?
Well, it's our first campaign. So like I said, season one and two was all done out of pocket, very limited budget, just a dedicated cast and crew, you know, believing in the project, wanting to make it happen. And we're like, hey, you know, season two, I brought out to the, you know, the web series festival world and into some film festivals when all, and you know, if you're going to submit to a festival, you might as well go to it because that's like, you know, 90% of the good things is meeting all the great people there and making those connections. So did all that and said, hey, you know, we did all this with a very limited budget. Well, why don't there's a lot of sci-fi fans out there, you know, if they find us and like us, look at what we can do, you know, with some funding. And that's our pitch. And you were we're about 11% of the way. We've got 30 days left, which is a pretty good runway. But, you know, still, it's a scary day every day. I haven't had a lot of sleep. I don't think I slept last night. All I did, you know, contacting you guys, contacting everyone in the world to say, hey, please help me is kind of my job for the next 30 days, along with my other job, which is, you know, a full-time job. So,
So what was your role in making this? What do you do? What's the whole story about Darren Murphy?
Well, for me, I mean, I've always been a huge, you know, sci-fi fan and just filmmaking in general. And, you know, so I went to film school, and I had the unfortunate pleasure of going to a school that decided that film was kind of over, and they decided to kind of kill the film program in the middle of like my first year. And so I kind of went through that, got out of that, and started just learning that practical experiences that most filmmakers do. And, you know, I sort of fell in love with that idea of direct connection to an audience. You know, you started to see, like, you know, Felicia Day is like my goddess. And, you know, watching like Joss Whedon during the writer's strike doing Dr. Horrible, coming out with The Guild. I'm like, hey, and, you know, even like, you know, Louis C.K. said, hey, you know, screw you, iTunes. I'm going to put up my own platform and just go direct to the people who want me and build it. And, you know, OK Go did that same thing with the, you know, with their music videos and just that direct connection to the audience. And that's kind of what I'm after. I think that's what a lot of web series creators are after is kind of skipping that step of like having it networked and having it all corporatized and finding an audience that believes in them and kind of building it from there. And that's what I'm trying to do.
I like it. You know, we'll be sure to have a link to your Indiegogo campaign in the podcast description, too, to make it easier for our readers and listeners to find it.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Now you owe us. What are you going to do for us?
I will retweet you until I'm 90 years old.
I like it. I'm going to hold you to it.
Anything you want me to say, I will stand on a street corner and shout until 3 a.m. every day.
I like it. Naked. We're in the naked around here. That's what we do.
Whatever you want, man. Geek legacy forever. That's what I'll shout while I'm naked.
I like it. So now I did some serious binge watching for Timekeeper.
People say it's a good. I think one of the hard parts, you know, I'm a huge fan of serialized content. I love Joss Whedon. Obviously, I've said it before. I like shows that have like an arc from beginning to end. It's a little tough with the web series because most of them tend to be short, you know, short format. So you kind of got to trust the audience is going to start and watch the beginning and keep watching. Whereas, you know, if you watch like an episode of something, you kind of get like a beginning, middle, and end. In Timekeeper, that's not really the case. It's kind of something I'm probably going to inject a little more of into season three, a little longer episodes, a little bit more of a plot that kind of resolves within each episode, but still having that thread. But yeah, I think most people that like it, that watch it, they binge watch it because it's almost like a continuous story with kind of those like, you know, peaks and valleys you got to keep watching it from like, yeah, beginning to end.
Right. And so I'm glad you mentioned the longer episodes because I got to say, during season one and pretty much most of season two, I was left just scratching my head. I felt like I was Mitch in a lot of ways because I had no idea what the hell was going on. It wasn't until really a big reveal that happened in season two, episode seven. I think it was called Time Bomb. And that's where things really started to come together for me and at least kind of peer its way out of the darkness. And were you at all concerned that maybe you weren't giving the audience enough to go on? I mean, that was a pretty big investment on my part just to get to that far. And if someone is watching it one episode at a time as they're trickling out, they might be left with too many questions and not enough answers to really stick to it. Like shows like Lost, for example. That's a good example. Yeah. We had a lot of questions and none of them were answered and we just kept getting more questions. It's like, God damn it, what the hell's going on with this show? So were you at all concerned that that might be the case with your pacing with Timekeeper?
I think somehow you've like climbed into my brain and extracted everything that's inside and now it's somehow you're like a mirror of me. And that scares me a little bit. But yeah, so that's exactly my fear. I mean, basically what happened was I wrote a season. And I decided, hey, let's shoot the first three episodes. That became season one. By the time I got to the end of that, I was so invested. I'm like, let's just keep going. Let's shoot season two. So really that whole thing all together is really one season. The downside of that is you don't really kind of learn from, well, what are people seeing? What are they experiencing? And what are they, you know, not getting? And one of those things is answers. And one of my big gripes about Lost, I mean, I think at the end of Lost, I think there was like a 50-50 split with the fans where they were like 50% like, oh, it was great. I loved it. It was a character study. It was wonderful. We got to follow them. 50% were pissed. Like, really? You told us the whole freaking time they weren't in purgatory. What the hell? You told us there were all these answers. And I decided, you know, from the beginning that I wasn't going to make a mystery that ended like that. But I kind of like discovered as I started to put the story together and put it out that, you know what, I'm probably not filling them in enough. And I'm trusting that they're going to keep watching because, you know, I mean, I think it's fun. And I think the audience does basically experience it the same way Mitch does. And I think that's how I sold it to myself in my head as I was making it. That, yeah, as long as they're on this ride with Mitch and Mitch is confused and they're confused, they're still going to feel like they're in the story. But, yeah, that's something that I kind of like came to realization after the fact. That, you know what? You got to kind of make that leap of I like this story and I want to see where it's going to go. And I'm afraid that people could drop out before that happens.
Gotcha. I mean, yeah, like I said, because I was binge watching. That's become a thing, right? Like, it's almost like a Netflix model now, where we get it all at once, so we can all just watch it and enjoy it, and hope for the best. Hope that the payoff is worth it when it's all said and done.
It ruins all my productivity. You know? I love being creative, but I'm like, you know, oh, Daredevil's out. Oh, okay, well, there's my weekend. Crap.
Totally.
And, you know, I'm just gonna watch a couple episodes. One more, and then it's 3 a.m. Crap.
Yes, that happens to all of us. Amanda over there, she did that with House of Cards. I think I did too. Yeah, when season 2 came out on Valentine's last year, she just, I don't think you went to sleep, Amanda. I think you watched them all just in that first day, right?
I don't think I watched it all in one day, but it was close.
I remember you texting me like, oh my God, this is crazy.
I definitely spent the whole weekend watching it, and I didn't stop. I mean, I did fall asleep eventually because I was so tired, but it was a pretty long binge.
Yeah, I remember. I hadn't seen it at all, so I got to watch season 1 and go right into season 2. And I don't normally like just sit there like, you know, I try to like stay on Twitter and stay on social media, you know, putting stuff out that I think is not just like, you know, trying to be just always talking about yourself. But every once in a while, something will happen where I'm like, I've got to just broadcast this out. And I think season 2, episode 1 with, you know, I won't spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but the event that happens, someone just goes away and there's a train. I'm like, what the hell, House of Cards? What the hell?
Oh, yeah. That was fantastic. I love that.
Exactly. It's funny you mentioned that, because I was going to say, so make sure season 3 opens with a train, or ends at least with someone flying in front of a train.
that's a good way to be. And I love that, you know, and I didn't even notice that, because he usually talks to the camera, and through the entire episode, he hadn't paid any attention to us. And at the very end, he's like, oh, did you think I forgot you?
Yeah.
That was like a powerful, like, oh, I got a little shivers. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Totally. And don't worry about spoilers. We always say the biggest reveal, and then we say spoiler alert afterwards.
Oh, okay. That's
how we do it.
Plus, they've had like 15 months to watch it. The statute of limitations has expired on that one.
Yes.
It's their fault. I blame them. You're right.
Yeah. Yes. Anyone offended by that spoiler has already seen the show.
Yes.
That's right. Okay. Good deal.
We'll still get hate mail, though.
Yeah. That's what we do.
You can't keep everyone happy. It's got to be miserable people in the world.
Yes.
And they want to send mail, so just let them.
Exactly. And they all listen to our show. The most miserable people on the planet listen to our show.
They're all signed up.
Yes.
Like, oh, are you miserable? Check. Okay, I've got the site for you. Go to Geek Legacy, sign up.
Are you miserable? Do you like sci-fi? This is your podcast. Do you remember The Next Generation with rose-covered glasses? You found the right home.
Exactly. So, Timekeeper Season 3, how many episodes are you planning to make for this one?
I mean, if the crowdfunding is successful, my plan is to do one of two things. I kind of like the idea of going just to longer episodes, like maybe 10 or 15 minute episodes, and doing maybe like, you know, six 15 minute episodes. Have each episode be something that can be, still have a thread throughout the entire thing, but have that kind of beginning, middle, and resolution of an episode, as far as just kind of just different, you know, subplots that could arise and fall, you know, within them, but still be that same thing of you have to watch each one and kind of want to know what's going to happen next versus them all being standalone. So that's kind of my hope. You know, if I make the goal, if I don't make the goal, you know, I will definitely do, you know, something, but it would probably be something much more withdrawn. Like I said, Eric, season 1 and 2 is all out of my own pocket, and I'm not independently wealthy. So it's like each time I did it, it was, okay, how much do I have? And I need a roof and I need to have food. So let's expend that and then, you know, save up again and do it again. But I can't do that forever because, you know, one of these days I'm not going to be able to lift a camera anymore, and I'm going to have to, you know, still have a roof and, you know, stuff like that too.
That's all big picture stuff. Years. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I don't think about that. I don't worry about it much, but, you know, it's like one of those things.
That's future Darren's problem.
Yeah, that's not your problem. That's future Darren.
I think that all the time. That's it. Who cares about that? That guy's probably dead, so it's all right.
Exactly. Who cares?
But I mean, I think season 2 is probably my biggest yet. I probably spent around $15,000, including insurance, and I decided I'm going to pay the actors. You know, I need to get these people to commit to like it was probably like a 15-day shoot, you know, which is getting near to a feature film. For season 3, you know, I would love to double that. So I would love to get the Indiegogo to go, and I would still invest some of my own, but to make it into something that was on par with a film production. So.
Well, great. One of our buddies, he actually reviewed your show, Mr. Rod Faulkner of the Seventh Matrix. He's this man is a sucker for web series. He scours the internet all night long to find some of the most amazing web series that he can scratch up, and for him to take the time to not only watch it but comment on it and spread the word, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, he was one of my first reviewers, and yeah, I still remember it. He's actually of like, and I'm sure you probably saw it on my my press release. He's one of my quotes because it was a good quote, and he liked it.
He does.
Those are good things.
And he hates almost everything. This guy, he is so funny. He is not on board with anything that we like. he's like our evil twin. He hates everything that we like. So it's pretty funny that he enjoys the shit out of Timekeeper.
So what does that mean about? Sorry, you're saying you hate Timekeeper?
No, I sat through it. I watched it. I enjoyed it.
Sat through it. All yes. Right,
put that on the box. Put that on the box.
Right now, Justin.
I sat through it.
Sat through it. Quote unquote. Awesome. I'm going to Hollywood. I have to leave right now.
You got it, man.
The shopper is landing. They've heard. Justin has said he sat through it.
And that's a good one because normally it doesn't suck. Dave's always like, oh, put that on the box. It doesn't suck. Yeah. No, I enjoyed it, Darren. Just
like two thumbs up.
Yes, it was fun. Okay. Like I said, I definitely felt like I was Mr. Mitch Manners, man. I was just scratching my head. I was and time travel stuff can be a bit of a mind fuck for a lot of people. If there's not a DeLorean involved, then it's even more confusing. And it's good shit.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and you know, I think, you know, because I tend to get into that whole, like, big architecture of where is it going, and that can be a problem for me, because it's like, well, okay, well, that's great, but what's happening in the episode you're in right now? So, you know, kind of my tagline for season 3 is that, you know, Mitch is over it. Between season 1 and 2, Mitch really got basically dragged around almost passively through his adventure. So season 3 is kind of where he's going to take the reins, and he's done being Time's bitch.
Right.
And that's kind of the tagline for season 3. To get the idea that, okay, he's been dragged here, and now he's going to take the reins and make some decisions that affect his life. And,
And I think we see that. I think we see that at the very end of season 2. Like, he's on board. He's like, whatever, man, I got this. Like, I've accepted this. Never mind that big fucking thing in the sky. I got this. It was funny.
In the sky, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's
okay. No big deal, right?
No, you know.
NBD.
He's been worse. He's been through worse, so it'll be fine. He snapped the girl's neck. I mean, it was all right.
He punched a little girl in the face.
He did. I mean, come on. Girl Scouts have it coming with the cookies. Every year with the cookies. I mean, come on. Nope. Everyone wants to do that, I think, secretly.
Oh, man. I want to put those girls to work, dude. When I'm ruling the world, we're going to get Girl Scout cookies every single day of the year. 365. No breaks.
There you go. That'll show them.
No jamborees either. Fuck that shit. It's done. Cookies only.
Get back in there and make some more cookies.
Exactly.
And not the crappy ones that no one wants.
I know. I only get Thin Mints. I don't even know what the other ones taste like. I'm not interested in them. I only get Thin Mints. I'm shallow.
Hey, every person's got his cookies. That's
well, great. Well, thank you very much for your time.
No, thanks very much for answering my email. That was great. And, you know, cause I mean, of all the hats, anyone that's involved in independent series wears lots of hats, and the marketing hat doesn't fit well on my head. But as a content creator, especially on the internet, I think everyone knows you got to wear that somehow. So
absolutely.
I'm trying my best.
I have a fireman hat. I wear it on special occasions.
Well, where can people keep up with you in Timekeepers, Darren? Where do you want to? Where should they go? Facebook, Twitter?
Yeah, I mean, everything that you can find on social media, Facebook and Twitter, is Timekeeper Show. So Twitter is at Timekeeper Show. Facebook, same. You can find all those links through timekeepershow.com. So pretty easy to remember.
I like it.
Yeah, and, so including like, I mean, right now it is on. You can find everything online free on YouTube. You can also find it on streamnow.com and on there is a subscription service, JTS.tv, that has a lot of great shows. Streamnow TV also they basically cultivate all these wonderful things of the myriad of cat videos and memes and all that stuff that floods the internet, and they put it in one place. And they're also on Roku. So if anyone has a Roku set, Streamnow TV and JTS, it's streaming through your television, which I think is kind of the key to getting people more into finding this independent content, because I don't like sitting at my computer watching stuff. I like it to come to me on my TV so I can sit there and drink a beer and be lazy. And yeah, That's the key to the future, I think, is for stuff to come to me while I'm lounging on the beer in underwear, drinking, lounging on the couch, drinking beer in my underwear.
That's exactly how I answered your email, by the way. I was in my underwear, was on my couch, and I was drinking.
See, it's prophetic, I think.
Who's this fucking guy? I'm like, oh, check it out. And then I was like, all right, I'm sold. I'll email him back. Why not?
I love that that's the way that went down.
It's exactly how it went down.
That's how it had to go down, I think.
That's how it goes down every email I send him to. So it's like, yeah, who's this fun guy? Only talked to him for like 12 years.
If you're not in that state, it's like, no, no. Do you want to help these orphans? No, no, no. I'm not laying on the couch in my underwear. Sorry.
Who's this guy from Southern California emailing me?
Exactly. That's how I do. Shit. Well, thank you very much, Darren. You are a delight, and we will have a link to your Indiegogo page as well as your little pitch video in our podcast description, and you're welcome to stop by whenever you feel like it. Give us an update on the show. Tell us to watch it. Yell at us some more. Show us some fun little time travel tricks. Let us know how to place some bets in the past, that sort of thing. Get rich. Have Biff Tannen's 1985 timeline going. That.
Nice reference. Nice reference. I like it.
You know. That's how we do shit.
Thanks very much, guys. It was great being on.
Randy, did you watch Ant-Man?
Negative.
Okay, not a problem. There's not a whole lot to spoil anyway.
I did, actually. I went to the movies last night, and it was a toss-up between Ant-Man or Terminator. And Ant-Man had a line wrapped around the building standing in the rain, so I went with Terminator.
Oh, did you like that?
Loved the shit out of it.
Wasn't it amazing? It was so good.
Yeah.
I also saw it, but I'm not quite as enthused as loving the shit out of it.
Oh
my god, that's one of my favorite.
Amelia Clark's pretty terrible.
I don't think she's that bad.
Well, we've seen worse.
Yes.
Right?
We have. And I think it's just funny because none of us, all of us thought the movie was going to be complete dog shit, and I think that's why we enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, and this might sound like blasphemy considering I am a Doctor Who fan, but I'm not a real big fan of Matt Smith, so I'm glad that his character was not larger than it was.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, let's see. We're waiting for the sequels. Well, who knows? It didn't make that much money.
That's true. Well, welcome to the show, Randy. Happy to have you here.
Hey, thanks. Sorry I had to work late, guys. I missed the fun interview.
You did. It was fun. I don't think I could have been more casual if I tried.
Were you wearing pants?
What is that supposed to mean?
I mean, like, it was just funny. I wasn't...
Oh.
Mr.
Interviewer?
Yeah. It was... Hey, we have this crazy... We have a fun little... I don't know what the word is for
rapport?
It. But, well, no. We have, like, this... It's almost like a bunch of us just sitting in a lounge and enjoying one another's company. It's not... We don't give off this presence of a professional show. It's more of a bunch of nerds hanging out and having a good time.
And that's good. That makes us feel, how you say, accessible to our audience.
Very accessible. I'm not even wearing clothes. I'm naked.
I know. More often than not, you podcast without pants.
This is true. I put some on.
Pantalones.
I put some on because my roommate will be coming home while I'm recording this, and I didn't want to be that naked guy.
Are you out in a common area?
I am. I am in the dining room right now.
How is your roommate working out?
Amazing. That is all.
That's it. That is it.
That is all. What I was saying about
Terminator
earlier.
You're being sarcastic.
No, it's working out wonderfully. Splendid, I say. Couldn't be happier.
Cool.
Unless I was, in a happy marriage and
right.
Thriving with little bitty Justin's running around, but that's neither here nor there.
But do you really want little bitty Justin's running around?
I do. Well, I want little Justines. I want girls. I want to have a little tea party and such. I feel like if my kid was having a tea party, then he's trying to slip me a Mickey, and that's just weird. And I don't even like tea to begin with. You guys know this.
Truth.
Tea sucks. Flavored dirt water is all it is, I say. Anyway, fucking Ant-Man came out this weekend, and Dave and I are the only ones that saw it. I actually thought it was delightful. I enjoyed the shit out of it. However, If I had a voice and I got to critique the movie, maybe give it some feedback, I would say that I didn't like the villain and I hated how he's in his suit for 5 seconds and all of a sudden he's a master at not only flying but shooting laser beams when we watched an entire movie and montage of Paul Rudd trying to figure out how to be Ant-Man. I don't get how the bad guy just gets to slip in the suit and be, you know, Johnny Natural with it. That shit pisses me off. We saw the same thing in Iron Man when Jeff Bridges got in the giant suit. He all of a sudden knew how to do everything too.
Maybe he was practicing in secret.
No, he wasn't. He couldn't figure out the formula. Every time he tried to shrink something, it didn't work. It would turn into goo. So he didn't have an opportunity. Not only that, but in the heat of the moment, all of a sudden he's just got to know how to use his suit. Bullshit. Anyway, Dave, what did you think of it?
I actually really, really enjoyed it. You know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe has become kind of like this large TV show to where every movie's got the same formula. You know, even the great ones like Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy, which are different kind of Marvel movies, the third act still devolves into this just like massive set piece. Everyone just blows stuff up and just forget about any character development that we've spent the last 2 hours doing. And what was good about Ant-Man is they kind of went the other way. It was almost like a fuck you to Marvel. They had their big old massive third act battle as like little dudes in a Thomas the Tank little village. And so it had all the same explosions, but every time there would be this big crash, this big explosion, it would cut to like a wide and you'd see this little tiny Thomas the Tank engine train just like fall over and stuff like that. And I liked it a lot. It was a fun little heist movie. It's good sometimes to get away from the save the universe, everything, the end is nigh. You know, it's good to have stories within this cinematic universe that aren't as heavy as, you know, Avengers.
Yeah, it sounds like a stark contrast, so to speak.
Yeah, it was a nice little departure.
Yeah, to the end of Avengers, you know, where they pretty much blow up New York.
Yeah, and Michael Pena?
The first Avengers.
Yeah. Oh.
And there's a lot of fun little, like, you know, jokes thrown out that way, you know, like everyone says, like in like the Thor movie or like the Captain America movie, why don't we just call Iron Man? He'll fix it. And so at one point, Michael Douglas gives Paul Rudd his job, and he's like, okay, the first thing we need to do is call the Avengers. And he's like, no, we can take care of this. And so it was just kind of fun to see that they were aware that they're in the universe, and you know, Tony, Howard Stark is in the middle, is in it at the beginning. You know, Michael Douglas is all anti-Stark, so. Yeah.
Falcon's in it too.
Falcon is in it. He gets his ass kicked by the end. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. I saw that this weekend. I saw Trainwreck this weekend. And I saw Terminator Genesis this weekend. It was a big weekend.
And don't forget to stay after the credits. There's two stingers at the end.
Yeah.
One in the middle and one at the end.
Ooh, I think I've only seen one of them that has leaked its way to Vimeo.
Which one did you see?
It has Captain America in it.
Oh, okay, so you saw that was the end one, kind of setting up the battle lines of Civil War. Looks like Ant-Man will be on Team Cap.
Mm. He's so small.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it too. That was great.
Yeah.
The flashbacks were the funniest part, where it's like in Michael Pena's voice.
Michael Pena was the best part of him. He was hysterical.
Yes, he was funny.
And Michael Douglas looked pretty good.
I liked. They see how they did the technology to make him look young? They made him look like he does in the 1980s?
Yeah, it was great.
Why didn't they do that with Terminator with Bill Paxton? I don't get it.
I don't know. Maybe it costs a lot of money. But Michael Douglas, like, the movie opens in 1989 with Michael Douglas, and he looks amazing. Like, he looks like they filmed this in 1989.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It looked pretty good. Like Fatal Attraction, Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
Black Rain, Michael Douglas.
Yes, Black Rain, Michael Douglas. Exactly like Black Rain, Michael Douglas.
That was 1989.
What year was Wall Street?
Like 86, 87, yeah.
Same.
They had the big phones. The big phones and the crappy computers.
But you know. Definitely worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but real quick on Terminator Genesis was, I was sad that the characters who spent the most time with were Emilia Clarke and Jay Courtney, who are like two of the worst actors in Hollywood.
They're like
the main characters.
They're terrible.
Yeah, but like the rest of the cast, you got J.K. Simmons, you got Schwarzenegger, who kills it in this movie. Like, he is so, like, it's return to Arnold Schwarzenegger form as Pops.
J.K. Yeah. Simmons was pretty amazing, too.
Yeah, he was hilarious. He stole the show.
Yeah.
Stole the show. See, it's like, goddamn, time-traveling robots always covering up their evidence.
Yeah, so everyone else is great, and then but like we spend like 80% of the movie with Jai Courtney and Amelia Clark, who are just the worst.
Yeah, Arnold's barely in it when you think about it.
Yeah. But he's so good.
He kills it. Crushes it. Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It's like Terminator 2 Judgment Day style. They even make like jokes like, yeah, he doesn't kill people. A lot of kneecaps, though.
They did a really good job with the younger, the 1984 version of Schwarzenegger, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of de-aging, digital de-aging, I know they did that in a split second in Terminator 4 for like the quick shot that he was in.
Yeah.
But to sustain it as long as they did in this one was pretty amazing.
Yeah. How do they explain him getting old?
Because it's tissue.
Has human tissue. Yeah. And human tissue ages. Okay.
Yes.
And it's said so nonchalantly, and they don't like put any emphasis in it, that it's totally believable. Like, they didn't spend like, well, this and that. It was like an offhanded comment. You're like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I felt didn't really get explained. And I think some of that was on purpose. But, like, where did this other liquid metal Terminator come from, this other T-1000 that wasn't Robert Patrick?
Mm-hmm.
And that was there in 84 and not later? And how did the Pops version of the Schwarzenegger Terminator know that this super updated, I forget what they call the phase shifting version that, spoilers,
Jason Clark's character?
Yes. Thank
you. The T-3000 is what they called it.
Yeah. The phase shifting one. How would he know that if he was sent, you know, depending on when he was sent back? So, and of course the big mystery is who did send Pops back, which was, you know, intentionally left a mystery.
Yeah.
But it had to have been pretty late in that future timeline for him to be aware of the T-3000 even existing.
Yeah, and it became like an anti, because, you know, they always have to kill Sarah Connor, but now they can't kill Sarah Connor because they need John Connor to be born to come back and create Cyberdyne. So now they have, now Kyle Reese and Sarah Connor have to have the baby. So really, if they just don't have sex, they prevent Judgment Day, right?
Like, pretty much.
Keep it in their pants, like the world's safe. Gotta wear
that's
a rubber.
That's no
man.
Fun.
Mm-mm.
I like how Schwarzenegger kept asking, did you mate?
Yeah. That was funny.
You have to mate so John Connor will be born. Did you mate? Sebastian only made like 8 cents at the box office.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think
no room. Everyone's seeing Jurassic World. It's the fourth highest grossing film of all time. It'll pass Avengers this week. It'll be the third highest grossing film of all time.
Isn't that nuts?
It is nuts. But what can you do?
Not watch it. Boycott it.
Minions is making $1 trillion, and it's terrible.
It just goes to show that shit movies make a ton of money.
Shit Universal movies.
Oh, yeah. They made a deal with the devil, man.
Yeah. They had 50 Shades, and then they had Furious 7, and they had the old Jurassic World and Pitch Perfect 2, and now they got Minions. Someone at Universal's getting a beach for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. And his name is Chris Pratt.
Yes. That.
What else we got? Anything? Are we done? Is that the show?
I saw Trainwreck. That was fun. I need to talk about it, but
who's the girl in that?
Amy Schumer.
And why do we know her?
She has a show, and she's like a dirty comic.
Oh,
She's like the It Girl. She's like the new Tina Fey.
Oh. Is that what you build as?
No, she's just the new hot female comic.
What's her show?
She's dirty.
Inside Amy Schumer.
Yeah. Which is funny because I'd heard of her before, but like in the last 3 weeks, she has just blown up to ridiculous proportions.
I've never heard of her until 8 minutes ago.
Her show is very hit and miss. Like there's some sketches that are just hysterical. Like she has one where she's like on a date and her future selves keep visiting her. And, like, somehow she's, like, the nexus point for all of the world. And so, like her date's like, hey, why don't you go get in there and give me a little celebratory beach? And all of a sudden, like, her from, like, 8 years comes. She's like, look, this is awful, but, like, if you don't give him that beach, if you don't go down and throat hug that guy's yogurt slinger, like, aliens are going to win the war. So you need to get under there and give this guy a beach. And the whole sketch goes off the rails like that. And then other sketches are just terrible.
See, my thing, I'm generalizing here, but I honestly believe that a lot of female stand-ups, their bits revolve around sex. And I know that's part of her shtick. And I don't know. I like, at least with male comics, I feel like it's all life experiences and them as a kid and their parents being crazy and shit like that. And I feel like I like hearing those types of jokes more so than dating and sex jokes.
Right.
She's and that's like coming from a guy that loves porn. I love sex and everything about it. Even dirty, gross, ugly people making sweet love on my TV, I'll watch it anyway. But when it comes to my comedy, I like it to be about fun stuff.
Yeah, she's all like Chelsea Handler, like her style of comedy. I think it boils down to like they want to like fit in with the boys, like because it's the boys that are going to the comedy clubs and they have to relate to them. Like, oh yeah, this chick likes sex. This chick's rad. Mm-hmm. When deep down, she probably couldn't stand anything she's talking about.
Interesting.
Cries yourself to sleep. LeBron James kills it in Trainwreck. He's funny.
What is it? What does he kill?
Like people? Small animals.
Oh, that's terrible.
It is terrible.
Speaking of Ant-Man, right? He killed that poor lamb.
Oh yeah, I didn't like it when ants died. That was sad.
Or the lamb.
Oh yeah, and the lamb. That was sad too.
I'm like, oh, this has to be the breakthrough because they wouldn't do. Oh nope, there it goes.
Yeah, and it was that guy that was in House of Cards.
Yeah.
The Baldy.
Darren Stahl. Corey Stahl. There you go. One of the something Stahl.
He's in The Strain too, I think.
He is.
Yeah, he is. And he has hair. Yeah.
Does he really?
Yeah, it's weird.
Weird. Is he an alien or a vampire?
No. Is he
Oh, he's the CDC guy, right?
Yeah.
He's the one hanging out with the not Van Helsing.
Right.
Interesting.
The Do you not watch Van The Strain? Helsing?
Yeah, well, because it's Walder Frey, and he's like this old guy that's been dealing with this shit before. Mm. He's the closest thing I could equate to Van Helsing. That's a fair comparison, right? That he's like a Van Helsing?
Yeah. He's like old vampire hunter, I guess.
There you go. Like D. Vampire Hunter D.
Like Blade.
Like Blade. I like Blade.
Oh, yeah.
Are they going to remake that?
Probably.
Yeah, well, they're going to continue the series with Wesley Snipes.
What?
What the what? True thing. True story.
Was he in jail?
He was, but yeah. Now he's on a work release program, and he gets paid the monies.
He can only come out if he makes more Blade content.
Is that what the condition was?
That's what the deal was, yeah.
It's like his plea bargain. You have to make two more Blades. It's like his community service.
He's made some pretty bad movies. What was that one where he...
Expendables 3.
No, that one was horrible. But there's something about, like, War? Art of War? Was that him?
He was in a movie called Art of War. It was terrible.
That was a bad movie. I didn't like it. Yeah. I liked White Men Can't Jump, but that was a long time ago. And I like Demolition Man.
And you like Wildcats.
That was also a really long time ago.
That was a very long time ago. What's Wildcats, Dave?
That's the Goldie Hawn where she's the football coach.
Wesley
Snipes and Woody Harrelson. It's like their first on-screen pairing.
Oh, because they did that a couple times.
Yeah,
they were brothers in the Money Train movie.
Yeah.
How does that work?
With a not totally famous yet J-Lo.
Right, and I like him as Willie Mays Hayes too.
Yes, in the Major League movies.
Yes,
or the first one.
I think that's all I like. Oh, Passenger 57. I like that one too, where he's trying to reach Agent Del Vecchio, D E L Vecchio.
I don't know D.
Yeah, that was funny. I like it. Or Murder at 1600, an address that changes all the rules. Oh, he was in a lot of stuff, man. This guy, from 1990, he was rocking and rolling all the way up to Blade, and then there was a bit of a bit of a delay there.
And then he made Blade 2, which was his magnus opus.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Well, Randy, what do you think of Benicio Del Toro being the villain in Episode 8 if he signs on the dotted line?
Oh, I'm super stoked about it. I think he's great. We can chalk that up to him having been a Bond villain as well. So he'll be a villain in two big franchises.
Well, he's in the Marvel Universe as the Collector. It's sort of a villain.
I actually kind of forgot about that because he's played such a small part relatively. But yeah.
But he turned down Khan from Into Darkness, so maybe he won't do the Star Wars one.
I don't know. It depends on whether or not. Maybe he's just not a Star Trek guy. He's maybe more of a Star Wars guy. Who knows? I mean, obviously that didn't affect JJ from doing both franchises. But yeah.
Well, hopefully Adam Driver doesn't die in Episode 7. I'll be sad. I'm hoping
I will neither confirm nor deny anything that I may or may not know.
I'm hoping that he will be the overarching villain for this new saga.
I'm still hoping that our villain rhymes with Vegas.
Okay, like Plagueis?
Yeah. I'm playing on the whole Lawrence Kasdan thing, what he said at the Star Wars panel.
Right, where he just completely pretended like he didn't hear the question?
Yeah.
What about these Ghostbuster names? Did you hear the Ghostbuster names?
Yeah, completely. I mean, here's the thing. The only way that revealing their names would have elicited any kind of excitement from the fans is if you threw some sort of nod to any of the original characters, like name somebody Venkman or Spengler or Stance or something like that. But instead, notice I left out Zedmore.
There is a man, though, a Holtzman.
Yeah, Holtzman.
Man, yeah.
It would have been funny if Leslie Jones was Zedmore.
Would be funny. That would be amazing. And I think we talked about it on last week's show that Dan Aykroyd's cameo is revealed to be a cab driver, so that's kind of a letdown. I would have loved it if he was an aging race dance that was passing on some great piece of equipment or knowledge or something to the new generation, but fuck it. I'm still going to watch it because it's Ghostbusters and I love the franchise.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Speaking of franchises you love, do you see that crazy 30th anniversary edition of Back to the Future coming out?
Oh my god. The first time the animated series has ever been officially released on DVD or Blu-ray? Yes, please.
Like eight discs?
Yeah.
I keep looking on Amazon, but they still don't have it on sale yet.
I'm curious to see the quality of the flux capacitor, too. If it's like kind of like cheap cardboard, just LEDs poking through, or if it's like a nice little plastic housing that I can actually put in my car and make it look like I have a flux capacitor.
It's just a still image. It's probably not even a thing. It's just like a picture.
Well, it looks like, I don't know. I the thing that I read makes it sound like it was actually like a little light up thing.
No, it is. I'm just being a smartass.
No, it's junk, Randy. All that collector edition crap is junk.
No way, that was that sweet, amazing Spider-Man 2 Electro head.
Yeah, I know. That was really his head, too.
Who wants that?
I do.
I don't know. It's hideous.
I'm getting it.
Who doesn't want a little head?
I'm going to put Dave's stocking. I'm going to shove it down his stocking.
I can't wait. And on the subject of things that the internet hates, do you guys see those X-Men Apocalypse images?
Yeah.
Oscar Isaac's Apocalypse looks like?
Yeah, I saw some pretty interesting cosplay at Comic-Con of Apocalypse that were mind-blowing compared to the Entertainment Weekly image of Apocalypse.
It's funny because that's what everyone's been saying, that somehow cosplay is better than the actual studio-produced character.
Were you with me at WonderCon, Randy, when you ran into that Apocalypse?
Yeah.
That was like incredible.
It was gigantic and it was incredibly intricate and everybody was stopping and taking their picture with him.
It was unbelievable. When I saw this, I'm like, uh-oh, because I love Apocalypse. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to have to defend this fucking thing. Oscar Isaac's pretty cool. I'm just such a staple of, like, the 90s cartoon, and it looks like all of the rest of the cast is, like, straight out of the 90s cartoon. You know, their Jubilee looks just like it in the cartoon. You know, their Jean Grey, you know, their Psylocke.
Psylocke looks pretty cool. Yeah.
Everybody looks just like they did in the cartoon, except for Apocalypse, who looked amazing in the cartoon. But I guess we'll wait to see what the voice is. Maybe the voice will save it.
Nope. It's crap.
Yeah, probably. Magneto looks cool.
Who?
Magneto.
Where do you see him?
He's on the cover with Apocalypse.
Tim, he just looks like the normal guy.
No, he's got like a little suit upgrade. His suit is enhanced.
Why does he get a shittier suit in the future?
It's not a shittier suit. It's a cool suit.
Yeah, now in the 80s, but I mean in the 2000s, why does he have a shittier suit?
Oh, I don't know. He went for functionality over fashion, I guess. It's like older women, they start wearing more comfortable shoes, you know?
Yeah.
Right now, he's like the young, like hot, like girl trying to climb the executive ladder who'll wear the uncomfortable shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of uncomfortable shoes, it's
the new hotness.
He's going to have a tracksuit in the next one.
Yeah.
In the future.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. What else is there? Wow, we're moving and grooving. We haven't covered this many topics in a long time.
There was a new Fantastic Four trailer.
Did you guys I liked it. Yeah. Where you have Reed Richards as a kid.
Yeah. It was the first time I saw anything from the movie that I didn't just be like, oh, this movie's going to be terrible.
Yeah. I think it was the best trailer yet.
I actually had the rare pleasure of seeing that trailer on the big screen before I actually watched it on the internet. And in this day and age, it's rare that I ever see a trailer on a big screen before seeing it on a tiny one.
You didn't know what it was at first either, did you?
I had no clue whatsoever.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, what is this movie?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fucking Fantastic Four.
So this is like Richards. My exact same reaction. Christ. You know who loved it? My son, Luke. I took them to see Ant-Man. And as soon as it was over, he's like, God, I want to see that movie. I'm like, fuck. Gotta see Fantastic Four.
It looked pretty good. Yeah. That trailer, I'll go see it. They'll get my $10 USD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, well. I saw a Batman v Superman trailer. Well, the Batman v Superman trailer before Ant-Man 2.
Yeah, I got Star Wars, too. Did you get Star Wars as well?
I did.
Man.
It was like all the good trailers. Batman's.
I swear to God, I hate that red capes are coming line. That is so stupid.
Yeah, if anyone's getting any hate from that thing, it's Eisenberg's Luther, especially with what he said at Comic-Con. Nerds are just out to fucking lynch him.
Oh, right, what did he say?
They asked him like how he felt about Comic-Con, and he was like all the screaming and stuff like that. The closest thing I can compare it to is like genocide. And they're like, yeah. they're like, I'm sorry, what? And like, he basically went on to talk about how much he hated it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, freaking genocide.
Whilst being interviewed, like at the DC booth, like at a signing.
Why like, during would you Comic-Con. Say that?
I don't know.
But it's okay though, because he's Lex Luthor.
I guess. Yeah, oh, they were like, maybe, like, maybe totally... it's some weird. Yeah, they were like, maybe it's some weird method thing. But most people are like, no, he just said something stupid that he shouldn't have.
Oh,
I do not think that word means what you think it means.
Yeah, inconceivable.
You want to hear something else that's inconceivable?
Sure.
Tyler's Comic Corner. Last time it was updated was April 15th.
Whoops.
He pumps it out every week, but I got in the habit of updating it on the site, but then I forgot to update his page since April
15th. Why doesn't he just do it?
I don't know, but it's funny. I gotta fix that. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Let's just hide it from the homepage for right now. And maybe spread out the feature, the news, the reviews, and stuff. If you're listening to this, don't go clicking on the Tyler's Comic Corner there. Give us a day or two.
What about the new Pan trailer?
I didn't watch it.
You guys watch that shit?
No, I don't like it.
It's so weird.
I don't like Peter Pan anymore.
It's a trailer that it kind of gives a little more story to where it makes a little more sense, but it's kind of like a Lady Gaga concert at this point, to where like at this point it's just trying to be weird.
Uh-huh.
And like, you know, underneath it, it's like this beautiful artist that has like this amazing story, but it just weirdness piled upon weirdness for no reason.
Mm. Hanging meat and weirdness.
It is. It's so strange. Like when you get a second, if you're on the potty working on your ETT, your effective toilet time, you can check out the Pan trailer and, you know, see what you think.
Are you saying Pan or Pam?
like shed some light on the whole Pan.
Like, it's silent. Like, yeah. Home.
We'll be interviewing as a team. Good comedy.
A good comedy, as you put it, is worth its weight in gold. shit. Any other trailers there?
Probably.
I don't think I saw anything else. I saw who? Oh, the suit? Yeah.
Traded some yellow for some white.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. If you say so. Hey, Randy, were you a big fan of the Sword and the Sorcerer? Sword and the Stone, I mean?
Yeah, Sword and Stone. Sword and the Sorcerer is terrible no matter who you
Sword
are.
Sword and Sorcerer? I freaking love that movie.
I know you do.
Loving that movie.
What a piece of shit.
Oh my god, I wanted that three-bladed sword that could just shoot out the extra blades. Holy shit, that was awesome.
What a nerd.
On the other hand, Sword and the Stone. Now here's the thing. I'm gonna let you in on a little secret here. I've never told anybody this.
Ooh. Breaking news.
Breaking news right here. You heard it on Geek Legacy first, and nobody's going to give a shit. I've never seen it.
What?
It's like the one Disney movie I have never in my life seen. And I worked for the company for 6 years, and I've never seen it.
Well, don't watch it, and watch the live-action remake that's going to come out in a couple years, and have at it.
You know what? I'm not going to support any Disney live-action remakes until they put Tron 3 back on the slate. So take that and suck it, Disney.
Oh, my God.
Well, maybe if you'd seen Tron Legacy a couple more times, Randy, like 150,000 more times.
But it didn't even do that bad at the box office, did it? It made its money back in spades.
It was a weird time for Disney. Like they did such a bad job marketing their live action films. You know, between Tron Legacy, John Carter, and now Tomorrowland, yeah. I think they're just scared.
I wholeheartedly agree, but I think they're going to come around. Have you guys been following any of the Shanghai Disneyland reveals that have been going on over the last week?
Yeah, the light cycle ride.
Yes, they're going to have an entire Star Wars themed land, which is pretty darn cool. And rumor has it we're going to be getting one here in the States as well, in California. But what really stood out to me was some of the concept animation that they had for Tomorrowland, their version of Tomorrowland. And it really does look futuristic, number one. Number two, there's a gigantic-ass Tron light cycle ride where you actually get to sit on the Tron Legacy light cycles and follow them around this really cool twisty track, and it just looks amazing. Just like all cool and neon. So it got my attention. And it made me a little bit sad because I realized, of course, they had to put years into developing this ride, and they were really hoping that Tron was going to take off again. But it's like, look, you're using that as one of your big flagship attractions in your new theme park, yet you don't. And that ride, let me tell you, that ride will cost probably, well, maybe not as much as making another movie, but you know, it's going to cost a hell of a lot of money. Probably like half the budget of a new Tron movie. Why can't you just make another goddamn movie to go with that expensive ride you just built? Or are in the process of building. Anyway, that's my rant. I'm hoping that since Disney thought it was cool enough to make a ride out of it, they'll eventually have a change of heart.
Maybe that's why Sam Mendes is leaving the Bond franchise after Spectre. He's protesting the No Tron 3. Maybe he's on the same page as you, Randy.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe not. We shall see.
I agree, Randy. I would like to see a Tron 3. Mm. But where are they going to go?
I don't care.
I don't care if it makes sense or it's good. I just want it.
Take me back into the grid, god damn it.
Sound like those prequel fans out there, Randy. I don't care if it's good. I just want more of it.
Yeah, well.
That was the pitch to J.J. Abrams. That was Kathleen Kennedy's pitch to J.J. Abrams. Like, I don't care if it's good. I just want more Star Wars.
Are you at all worried, speaking of more Star Wars, are you at all worried with the offshoot movies?
Petrified.
You are? Like, I know you're excited about episode 7, 8, and 9, so are you genuinely petrified, mortified, whatever the hell he says? And
I'm
what
thrilled.
Is he saying, A Beautiful Mind? He's like, petrified, mortified, stupefied.
Sounds right. I'm super excited for Rogue One because Rogue One is what I wanted from the anthology movies. I want them to, you know, kind of play it safe with 7, 8, 9 and tell, you know, the episodic nature that is Star Wars. But then the anthology movies are hoping they're going to take some chances, and it looks like with Gareth Edwards' Rogue One, they're going to make a different kind of Star Wars movie that we haven't seen yet. But when we come down to, you know, a Fett movie or a Solo movie or maybe a Kenobi movie, at that point, I'm worried that they're just more tales within the Star Wars universe, but told in the same way. If they want to make like a Solo Boba Fett movie, like an Enemy at the Gates style movie, where it's like these two people, I mean, they're obviously not snipers, but or maybe make it like, trying to think of like a fighter pilot equivalent, like the Red Baron. They want to make something sweet like that to where it's not like a standard Star Wars movie, I'll be excited, but so far, we haven't seen anything to let us feel that way. What do you think, Randy? You're a Star Wars dude.
You know, I'm all aboard. I definitely agree with what you said about Rogue One. That is an amazing little story that really kind of What I feel like it's going to be is it's going to kind of stitch together Star Wars Rebels, the animated series, and Episode 4. So it's going to be a lot of familiar environments, a lot of familiar technology and equipment and characters, and it's going to feel like we're in our comfort zone in the time period that we're used to from the original trilogy and from the Rebels TV series. Kenobi, I think, is going to be I'm really hoping that that is a fun way to bridge episodes 3 and 4. And I would adore the idea of seeing Ewan McGregor don his Jedi beard and robes once again. You know, as it is, if you want to argue the fact that, yeah, it's just going to ruin it ruined all this backstory of stuff that could have happened to Obi-Wan Kenobi all those years he was just a hermit out in the desert. But you know what? His backstory was kind of already ruined in the prequels. It was when you know all that backstory about Obi-Wan, it doesn't make it destroys his mystery, the mystery behind his character in the original trilogy. So I right. mean, it's already been destroyed. So I say just bring him back again. That'd be amazing.
Boba Fett, and we don't. Who knows? Maybe Kenobi doesn't always stay on Tatooine. You know, we just assumed he always did. You know, maybe true. Maybe he made some jaunts. And it'd be cool to have like an old gunslinger type Kenobi, like a Wild West thing. To, you know, where sure. someone like tracks him down. He's got to get his revenge. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
I still think it'd be great to see. Freaking crazy half robo Darth Maul track him down like in the Infinities comic. But yeah, when it comes to a Boba Fett movie, I don't know. What really depends is how well Rogue One works, because we know we're going to see some bounty hunters in that movie. We're probably going to see Boba Fett and some of the other guys from Empire Strikes Back. Let's see how that plays on the big screen before we go giving Boba Fett his own movie. And if it's a Boba Fett Han Solo dual anthology movie, I mean, I'm really curious about their backstory, but it would have to be done well to... I don't know, to do justice to such beloved characters. And that's all
right.
I'm
well, Chris Chris Miller and Phil Lord are going
to
do the Han Solo movie, so I have a lot of faith in them because I think they're amazing directors and I think that they can do no wrong. If they directed like the Han Solo Boba Fett movie, I'd be pretty on board. Like if it came out.
Is it kosher to still call it a Han Solo Boba Fett movie even though that slide that we saw before Comic-Con was kind of debunked as being fake?
Yeah, I think that.
Or do we think Disney did premature. Some damage control and maybe that was real? Then once it got leaked out, they're all shit. Let's get rid of this from the presentation so people will just think it's fake, just to throw people off the scent. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Han Solo is a complicated character. You know, he had a rough upbringing. He went to the Imperial Academy. He washed out to save Chewbacca, all that kind of stuff. It really depends on where in his life they focus. Like, I don't want them to Anakin Skywalker him. I don't want to see a 9-year-old Han Solo. Like, I'm totally fine if they want to jump into Han Solo in like his early 20s. Like, he's at the Imperial Academy. He hasn't met Chewbacca yet. He doesn't have the Falcon yet, and go from there. That I'm okay with. I don't want to see little Han Solo picking pockets on like Caridia or something like that. I don't need another Anakin Skywalker. It's my feelings.
Yeah, no, I would totally agree with you there. So no Jake Lloyd as Han Solo.
Well, he's old enough now. He can be adult Han Solo.
And yeah, he's got a criminal record now too. So that kind of goes into that whole
Scoundrel
past kind of thing, right?
How yeah. crazy was that? He wasn't even on drugs. It was just didn't have a license and didn't want to get caught, I guess.
You always get caught.
You do.
The law always catches up.
They do. You can't get away with anything anymore. Don't even try.
Yeah, helicopters and satellites and all that nonsense.
They got this CSI.
The crime scene investigators.
Yeah, they're in every city.
No, they keep getting rid of them. Coast they keep coast. Canceling them.
Maybe you can't get away with murder. Who knows? Yeah, I would so try it.
So I want Anthony Ingruber to play a young Han Solo. He played Harrison Ford's younger self in Age of Adeline. And he looks a lot like Hans, a lot like Harrison Ford from like the 80s.
Holy crap. Yeah, I've seen pictures of that guy, and it is uncanny, the resemblance. So I would totally be on board for that.
I still want Jensen Ackles. I think he could do Han Solo in his sleep.
I'm sure he could.
I agree.
Well, what about you, Justin? You like the style war there. What are your thoughts on the anthology movies? Or the serial movies in general, 7, 8, 9?
I'm excited, man. I am looking forward to them all very much. I am not worried. Because even a bad Star Wars movie is still Star Wars.
Yeah.
So I look at it that way. You still get the music. You still get the fun pachee-pachee-pachee sound effects. You still get the toys for Randy. Everybody wins.
Get a lightsaber, too.
Yeah. That's where they can make some magic, is with the fun lightsabers.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think Force Awakens will be a big... If Force Awakens comes and becomes like a $2 billion hit... I think we're going to see an avalanche of Star Wars. I think they're going to go the Marvel route and release more than one a year. I think they're just going to start green lighting them like crazy.
I think that would be okay. There's a million characters. A lot of them are interesting. Some of them not so much. But I think that there's plenty of material to go around.
Who's not interesting in Star Wars? They're all interesting. Mm. Even Figure and Dan and the Nodals.
No.
Modal Nodes.
Oh, my bad. The modal.
I think it would be cool if... Okay, so here we go. Here's what I think would be a fun one. If we had sort of a Full Metal Jacket vibe with following Stormtroopers, where you have them go through their little boot camp and we're rooting for these guys. They're put in a situation where they're not going to win. It's one of those... Catch 22 type of deals where they're left on a planet that's going to lose, and it's almost like a Alamo type of deal, and it would be awesome.
I would watch the shit out of that movie.
Can you imagine a world where you're rooting for the stormtroopers there? I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
And we got to follow this guy that maybe even he thinks that what he's doing is right. He thinks that the Empire is the way to go. And he fights for what he believes in. Sort of like a All Quiet on the Western Front, right? Where you have this story from the Germans' point of view.
I like it.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And that stuff like that is what I want out of the anthology movies. Like outside-the-box type films. So write that, Justin. Send it into Lucasfilm and, we'll get this thing made.
They sent me a letter telling me not to send them any more shit.
Did you send them your hair? Cease and desist. Like, please stop sending us your hair, sir.
Yes. I shaved my head and sent it to them. I said, here you go. Donate to this, to sand people in need.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a movie, an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie. What if he falls in love with some sand person? And then due to, miscommunication, because they can't understand each other there, they have a falling out.
How do they fall in love if they can't understand each other?
It's love at first sight, Amanda.
So they're people.
The universal language of love.
Yes. Science.
They look humanoid underneath all that stuff.
I think that they look like beautiful people, I bet. I don't think that they're monsters. I think that's just their crazy little gas mask.
The sun's never touched their skin, so they're all pristine.
They're from another planet. They don't even know if they can breathe on Tatooine, so they keep their little masks on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't open that, sir. We don't know.
Say episode 82. I died in episode 82. Not gonna die, guy.
Oh, what's my last name?
Holy shit, though. That's all I got. You guys got anything else?
I got nothing.
You had a lot, Dave. I'm proud of you. You really brought it. You're in it to win it.
That's right.
Hey, what is it that he's going to win?
I get to go watch the rest of Gone Girl with my wife before I go to sleep and get up in 6 hours.
Have you seen that movie?
I never saw Gone Girl.
Did you read the book?
No.
Oh. Talk about crazy bitches, man.
Yeah.
I think the movie's better than the book.
I'm glad you said that, because I enjoyed it. It's a one-timer. I enjoyed it.
I definitely enjoyed it as well.
That Affleck, he can act.
I couldn't be more excited that he's Batman.
So why does he have goggles and in the desert? Did we figure that out?
No, I think that's We're going to have to wait and see.
Is that in the future? What's happening? I don't understand.
Because it looks like he's wearing, like...
It's very tactical.
Yeah, it's very tactical and kind of military and definitely not entirely Batman from the neck down. Yeah. You know?
Maybe he's like a maybe Wayne Enterprises is a military contractor in this version.
Oh. Maybe he realized that black didn't camouflage so well in the daytime in the desert.
Right. Yeah. Maybe he decided he was going to have to basically put on a uniform and blend in somewhere, but he still left his cowl on. So he's got the whole military uniform, he's got the cowl, and he's got this ridiculously oversized helmet to fit over his little ear nubs on the cowl.
Okay. I want that toy.
It's very animated.
I think, yeah, you know how when you go into the toy store and there's like an orange Batman, a yellow Batman, and all kinds of weird shit? I want Desert Batman.
I picture it being as ridiculous as when the Ninja Turtles used to wear the gigantic trench coats and fedoras.
Dude, there was some at Comic-Con cosplay. Yeah. I took I had made Steven get his photo with them.
Maybe that's awesome. I think I saw it in Jane's photos. I like the meme you posted, Randy, from the trailer where Batman lights up his own bat signal. It's like, you know, shit got real when Batman has to call Batman.
It's a little meme.
Made me smile.
Yeah, somebody posted that. I'm like, oh, I got to steal this.
Shit got real.
That would be pretty cool, though, if Batman had like somebody he called when shit got real.
Chuck Norris.
There you go. I don't know. Call Alfred. Apparently, he's an ass kicker now too.
Well, he's like the same age as Batman now.
I don't get it.
Maybe it's Alfred too.
I have to think that the younger Alfred that we saw was if some part of a flashback or something.
Did you guys see the still of the tombstone?
No, I don't think I did.
Batman v Superman. I don't know if I'm okay.
Don't worry about it. Did you see the whole bit about Jared Leto's Joker really being Jason Todd?
No.
That's a theory.
I hope Joker's in Suicide Movie Squad for like 5 minutes. Hope it's a small part.
Like the credits.
Yeah, he's in it for the same like the same fraction of time that he is in the trailer. So he's like 5% of the trailer, he's in 5% of the movie.
Yeah, I'd like that. What was some kind of Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
Yay, so expositional dumb. Dialogue. You just want to see an entire Harley Quinn movie.
Oh, man. I love it.
I think less is more with her.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I don't think anyone told Will Smith that Deadshot's a bad guy. Like in the trailer, like someone posted, in the trailer, this hardened killer saves a girl, hugs somebody, and talks about saving the world.
What if he's not really a bad guy? What if he's just a victim of circumstance?
He's just misunderstood.
Mm-hmm. Well, then he wouldn't be dead.
He's not bad. He's just drawn that way.
Strong. And he says the name of the movie in the trailer, so he gets bonus credit for that.
Yeah, that's always funny. What if he's in like, you know how scenes are always just cut from movies? They're in the trailer, but then they don't make it. What if Will Smith's not even in the movie?
That'd be fun. Well, there's so many characters, and I'm afraid that we're going to get, like, so much backstory on, like, 20 characters. I hope they Mad Max it, and they just don't tell a shit about any of these characters. Like, we're just kind of thrown into this world, and, like, all we get is, like, the two-second little elevator speech that Waller gives to, like, the military people, and that's all they get. Hmm. I don't want to see, like, backstories for everybody. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. I don't either. It'll probably just be, like, a little... A montage of them rounding up bad guys.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Get all their backstories done in like 3 minutes.
Like to the tune of bad boys, what you gonna do? And they're all just getting rounded up.
Bad cops film life in the city streets of Gotham.
How funny was that though in Terminator where they busted out the cops theme?
Yeah,
it was funny.
So cheesy, but it totally worked.
Yeah. I like it. Always a Terminator with you, Randy.
Hey, what can I say? Terminators, dude.
It was good. It was so good.
Oh, it did not suck at all. I expected to just like hate every minute of that movie just because Terminator is one of those franchises I hold dear because I loved T2 so much when I was growing up. And it did not disappoint.
It's funny that you say it did not suck because when we had Mr. Darren Murphy on the show, I was like, hey, I sat through it. He was a good sport about it. I'm like, hey, that's better than Randy, who always says it didn't suck. But, yeah. We're fine critics, I tell you what.
Hey, if it doesn't suck, that must mean it's good, right? It's the opposite of suck.
Exactly.
It blows.
Amanda, do you have anything to add to the show before we close it?
Nope.
Welcome back, by the way. I know we haven't had you on the show in a couple.
Yay.
I know you're excited to be back.
Huzzah.
Is there anything left out of the summer movies that you want to see?
I haven't seen anything. I need to start watching shit.
What about that Southpaw movie? What is that even about? What? Have you seen that with Jake Gyllenhaal where he's like a buff boxer and his wife gets shot and he loses his kid? She's all mad at him and throws her drink down on the ground. He's all buff and crazy like Hulk.
I saw a trailer for that.
I don't even know what's
happening. It's basically like the bad parts of Rocky Five.
Yeah.
Where he loses all his money and shit.
He just hits rock bottom in the opening credits and then it's a horrible...
His child hates him.
A misery fest for 2 hours?
Yeah, because he gets suspended for boxing for a year, so he doesn't earn any income for a year, and boxers, they spend money. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, on like protein shakes and shit.
Yeah, and so he loses his kid, and then he finally has his comeback.
And then he wins.
Yeah.
But he dies.
Like Reed, but not as good.
What if he gets up, he was going to get the payday that he needs to get his kid back, but then he dies in the fight? Ooh.
When was the last time somebody died in a fight?
What if he just becomes like a quadriplegic and now the little girl has to take care of him? Ooh.
Ugh, I can't stand relentlessly depressing things like that.
I know. It's bad.
That kind of reminds me of, you know that, I think it's called Max. It's about some like military dog.
Yeah.
God, that's just like the worst sort of conniving, like saccharine movie bullshit that's meant to just like make you cry constantly.
It's pretty sad.
Does the dog die?
No.
It does.
I can't watch.
You know the
like
dog
that.
Dies.
Why do they gotta kill the dog?
Because in those movies, the dog always has to die.
It's not Old Yeller. And then what's that other fucking movie with the Wilson boy and Jennifer Aniston? What was that movie called?
Oh, Marley and Me.
What the fuck? Why do dogs always gotta die?
Because people care about dogs dying more than people. We don't care if people die. We're like,
because you know what? Because humans are assholes and they do stupid shit. And animals
are noble.
More innocent. Exactly, they're more innocent. They don't knowingly harm others just for no reason.
But where's the entertainment value in that? Why can't I walk out of the movie feeling happy? Why do I gotta walk out of there being sad? And showing
people
a puppy
just
at the end
feel
isn't good
something.
Enough. Yeah, whatever. Those people suck. I'm going to have to watch Air Bud 3 just so I know. Well, I don't know. Does Air Bud die in part 3? Is there a 4?
I don't know. Homeward Bound.
They all get home, right?
Yeah, they all get home. Nobody dies.
Jesus.
Same thing with 8 Below with Paul Walker. Nobody dies.
The dog doesn't die, right? The one that gets lost?
Nope, and all the other dogs rally behind it. It's very sweet.
Huh.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They make you think the dog died, so you feel really sad for like 2 minutes, and then... He pops out of the snow and you're like,
So Harper Lee wrote a book.
Oh.
Technically, she didn't.
No, yeah. Have you
been I guess technically she did, but she didn't want anyone to read it, and apparently for good reason.
Well, I guess they're saying like her family wrote it, like took her notes and wrote it because they wanted like the payday because, you know, she's not long for the world. But she's got like.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
there's
crippling
all this
dementia, and like she's,
speculation
she's like,
that her lawyer orchestrated the whole thing just to like make money.
Yeah, like it's. I mean, all of a sudden, after you know, 60 years or whatever of saying like I'm never gonna write another book, she all of a sudden writes a book, and she's, you know, not all there. And she made Atticus Finch a member of the KKK. What?
And this manuscript surfaced after her sister died, who was her caretaker. And like the person in control of her estate.
Uh-huh.
So now that her sister's gone, like whoever's in charge now is just like wants a payday.
Atticus Finch was rated the number one hero from AFI, like over Luke Skywalker.
Now he's just a Captain piece of Kirk. Shit, Dave.
And they made him like a card-carrying member of the KKK who like secretly hates black people.
That's to get him into all the clubs. Maybe he's
just infiltrating from
within. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god. And so what they're saying is that like the original manuscript for To Kill a Mockingbird was this whole thing, and it had flashbacks to Scout and Boo Radley, and that her original publisher told her, just do the flashbacks of young Scout. Don't do old Scout and racist Atticus. But that's what her publicist and people are saying. Huh. Or people close to her are saying that her family is awful and did this for money.
You mean people doing terrible things for money is not just in the movies? It's in real life?
Did you read it, Amanda?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. They're saying like it's like the ramblings of like someone who doesn't know how to like write. Like it's like a first draft.
Like
well, because it literally is.
Yeah, it's like her family writing it and trying to get it out. I'm surprised they didn't wait until she passed away. Because
well,
that would be
want to wait that long.
Well, that'd be the huge payday. I mean, you know, that's
her last
a terrible
book.
Person.
Yeah.
Yeah, like she was working on this when she passed away. Like it was her goal to get it out before she passed away, and then like you can't be a dick to someone, some dead person's book.
Probably because they're banking on there being, like, when she does die, like, another resurgence in sales.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like, oh, we gotta buy her books.
But, no, I mean, I've read other people's opinions of it, and so that just made me decide, like, not to even bother. Because, you know, if you're gonna destroy one of, like, the big literary heroes, then I don't really want to waste my time on that.
Yeah, I don't want to read about Atticus Finch freaking hanging black people.
Yeah.
No. I don't want to read about anyone doing it, but especially not him.
It also, I mean, there's really no point in trying to argue it because it's obviously, I mean, everyone agrees that this whole thing was orchestrated out of greed and not out of any actual sense that Harper Lee's words needed to get out there. But, It also doesn't make sense for a character to digress like that. Like, it just doesn't.
Yeah, he left the courtroom after he got Boo Radley, and he's like, you know, I think I might be on the wrong side here. Right. Where are my sheets?
Especially if, like, in the future, like, racists would know that they were on the wrong side of history because of the civil rights movement. So, like, why would you become racist after you know that you're wrong for being racist?
Right.
I don't know.
I guess it was a big thing in the South in like the 60s was people who were openly for progress, but secretly behind doors were putting on their white hoods and being terrible.
Well, everyone's like that. Well, not everyone, but lots of people are like that.
Some of us wear racism on our sleeve.
People who say that they're not racist or sexist or
right, and I
whatever.
Think we see a lot of that with social media these days
yeah
too.
But when push comes to shove, they're not actually willing to do anything to be like an ally to minorities.
Yeah, you know how you're racist if you ever have to start finish a story with I have a black friend.
Or if you say I'm not racist but if you have to qualify it with that, then you're racist.
That's
yeah, or if you go to launch into a story and you have to look over your shoulder both ways to make sure there's none of them around, quote unquote.
Or if you ever use the word Oriental. Someone did that the other day, and I'm like,
we're not referencing a ramen flavor.
Yeah, this is something that happened in your modern day life.
Oh, God, yeah. Our old boss used to say Oriental.
Ridiculous.
And in the same sentence, like, you refer to someone as a dyke, and I'm like, I don't think you're supposed to say either of those words. And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I think both of those are terms you aren't supposed to use after 1960. And he's like, well, what am I supposed to call him? I'm like, I don't know. What's their name? Call him that. He's like, well, I don't know their name. I'm like,
well, then don't talk about them.
This conversation will not end well. It's going to be quiet. Sit in my corner. I'm talking about
work?
The Chinese. I mean, when he opens his mouth, he just makes himself look like a fucking idiot. I mean, it comes to the point where you can't argue with crazy.
I can argue with crazy all day.
But you can call HR.
Oh, yeah. I have them on speed dial as well. It's kind of like a bat phone.
It's a red phone with one button. It's just his HR on it.
It blinks. Yes. It's amazing. I'll be the head of HR for Geek Legacy. I can do that.
Maybe you have to fire all of us.
I mean, yeah. you gotta do something in small ways. Otherwise, stuff never changes.
Doesn't. It takes a while.
I mean, one of my friends, there was this, like, racist incident in her company. Totally swept under the rug. Like, no one gave a shit. And it's because, like, the lady who was being racist, one, is actually married to one of the VPs. And two, the company is based in North Carolina, where they are mostly racist, I guess. Or it's such an everyday thing that they don't even think about it. But the office in California, everybody was just like shocked that this was allowed to happen.
Flying their Confederate flags.
You want to hear?
I'm like telling my friend that she needs to actually like file a report, but you know she's afraid to make a fuss about anything.
Oh, that's sad.
Because she's just like, well,
anonymously or like under the guise that like someone else heard it.
Well, the thing is, I think 1,000 people got this email.
Well, it'd be easy to be anonymous. Like, hey, I got this email. It's awful.
I mean, I was telling her everybody in your office needs to forward that email to HR and be like, this is offensive. This is not okay. But it was this lady. It was like some sort of like health email that was like about the benefits of eating watermelon. And guess where this is going?
Oh, yeah. Ouch.
And the woman who emailed it out, copied and pasted a Photoshop picture of Obama, like, with dreadlocks and carrying a watermelon.
That is awful.
Right? And she tried to, like, explain it away by saying that she wanted to show images of the first family, you know, being healthy, but they were only pictures of Obama. They were all terrible Photoshops, and they were all very clearly racist images.
She's not waiting, racist. They like watermelon and grape drink.
Who doesn't like watermelon and grape drink? Everybody likes it.
I feel like Lord Denethor, the Steward of Gondor, when I eat watermelon. Like, it gets all over my face, and I just splash it all around. I gotta eat it over a sink. It's awful. I don't even like to wear
shoes. Why don't you just cut it up into cubes?
Because I like being gross and just shoving it in my face.
Mix it with some micro basil.
I just eat it. I just put my face in there, like, in a pie-eating contest in Stand By Me.
And then
hand your back.
He'll make some sad little man sing him a song while he eats it, too.
Yes. You want to hear something really funny? So, fucking at Timekeeper Show, we just had Darren Murphy on our show, and we interviewed him, and he tweeted to Geek Legacy.
Yeah.
It says, Justin Cavender's highest form of praise, I sat through it. Timekeeper just went global. Boom. Just had a blast on At Geek Legacy Podcast. Oops. I am terrible. Are we done? Are we done with horrible racist stuff?
Moral of the story. If you see something, say something.
Yes. Don't be an asshole.
Don't be a pussy.
Yeah.
Don't puss out.
Seinfeld and his friends went to jail for not doing anything.
Make HR work for their money.
Yes, good Samaritans. Bunch of bullshit.
Anyway, moving on.
Let's not move on. Let's just go. Is there anything else?
Nope.
That's it?
I got a list if there's time. If not, we can do it next week.
Justin doesn't want to do a list.
That's fine. Let's do it next week. I've already held on to this one.
What is the list?
How hungry?
What is it, really fast?
All right, this list.
You don't got to read it. Just what is it?
10 hilarious realities behind your favorite movie scenes.
Oh, is it gonna ruin it?
No.
They're funny. They're genuinely funny. It's not like me finding out that Chevy Chase is really an asshole or anything like that.
No, some of them are genuinely pretty funny.
Okay.
Or interesting to know. They're not all funny. They're interesting. Oh. This saying hilarious is a little bit overselling it, but they're interesting. It's like, huh, I didn't know that.
I'm surprised you know that.
It's funny that you use the word interesting, too, because that has turned into my word for just not good.
Yeah.
Just say interesting.
Yeah.
That's funny because that's my dad's word for not good, too.
I'm an old man now, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, I showed him Nonstop to Comic-Con. I said, hey, what'd you think? He's all, it was interesting.
Oh,
ouch.
That sucks. I like it.
Thanks, Dad.
I like the one guy.
He is not, how you say, the target demographic.
That's true. Oh, well. Anyway.
People who like funny things?
I think it's funny. Right. I think it's hysterical.
Hey, I think it's fun, too. And we just got into another festival this past week.
Yay!
So, huzzah for that.
No, and huzzah. YOLO!
YOLO!
So stupid. I fucking hate all that Renaissance Fair, Dungeons & Dragons bullshit.
I don't think either of those terms are that.
Oh, yeah. That's what you hear it.
Huzzah is.
Hipsters that play Dungeons & Dragons yell YOLO.
Do
hipsters play Dungeons & Dragons?
Sure they do. At the Starbucks.
What?
Where are they going to write their screenplays if they're playing Dungeons & Dragons at Starbucks?
That's true.
Are they all screenwriters?
No, they're outside. They're outside of Starbucks asking for money. That's what the hipsters are doing. They're asking for coin.
Ugh, on their rotary telephones.
Yeah, assholes. Dude, they totally need to make a brick phone. Like, the next iPhone should be a fucking giant idiot brick from the 80s, and people would buy it. You know they would. I would. I'd wear it on my person, too.
Get it like a holster?
Yeah, I'd get one of those briefcases that you gotta carry it in.
Oh, forgot about that.
They're stupid. Anyway, that is a great show. What, Randy? What?
I do have one quick thing to plug.
I'm hungry.
I promise. All right, so Nonstop to Comic-Con is going to be playing at Fandom Fest Comic Expo in Louisville, Kentucky, which is running from August 7th through the 9th. We're going to be playing on Friday the 7th, 8:30 p.m. in room 218 upstairs. If you're there, check it out. It's part of the Phantasmagorical Film Festival. And the Fandom Fest Comic Expo is actually a pretty big show. They've got a lot of really big names there. Billy Dee Williams, Carrie Fisher, other Star Wars alumni are going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And you can go check out our movie for free if you're attending this event. So go check it out.
Yay!
Yay! What's it called again?
It's called Nonstop to Comic-Con. It's going to be at the Fandom Fest Comic Expo in Louisville, Kentucky, August 7th, I believe, which is a Friday. And it's part of the Phantasmagorical Film Festival.
Oh, shit. I like it.
Check it out.
Yeah, like books.
Check them out.
Read a book. Read a book. Read a motherfucking book.
And to any of our friends north of the border in good old Canada, we're going to be playing up there at the Fan Expo Canada, September 3rd through the 6th, part of the Geek Fest Film Fest.
Oh, shit. You guys are everywhere.
We are.
We're everywhere, fucker.
Man. Now you just got to watch it on a drive-in theater, and you can die a happy man, Mr.
Oh, man. There are a couple festivals that actually present at a drive-in theater. And actually, both of the ones that I found that do it are out in New York. So, I don't know. I might actually submit to one or two of them just to have the experience.
Just rent out the Mission Tiki and get with Justin and Andy and do a Bloody Wedding. Or Bloody Wedding. Let's like a Jones double feature with us.
Ooh, oh, that would like be a amazing. Grindhouse.
Yeah, let them pay half and they can get shown second. I mean, I would be better.
I love it. Let's do it. Our movie is different. It's very, very different. Theirs, I would argue, is funnier.
What?
It's more like rapid fire, comedy. Ours is a lot of story and not as much just jokes for the sake of jokes.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
I don't either. On that note, we're going to go.
Yeah, Randy killed the podcast.
Debate this shit later. Yeah. If you want to see the number one movie of all time, go to the, what is it called? Phantasma something in Louisville.
And Fandom Fest. Fandom Fest Comic Expo, Louisville, Kentucky.
That is so long. Is that on the marquee?
Well, it's just called Fandom Fest.
Oh, that's shorter.
Go to Fandom Fest.
Let's call it Fan Fest. Yeah, change.
Fan Fest might be something different.
That's for baseball and football.
Oh, I like that.
Those are the events they do during the All-Star.
Oh, yeah. Oh, speaking of which, your stupid National League lost.
They did.
Idiots.
That's all sad.
I thought, wasn't there a time when American League always won that shit, and then all of a sudden that changed to National League?
Yeah, it always goes in, like, cycles. But, yeah, the American League won, like, 8 in a row, and the National League won, like, 4 in a row, and the American League's won, like, 4 of the last 5.
I'm American, so I'm a root for the American League.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know really why I would care, but it doesn't matter. Is the only difference is the National League, the pitcher hits?
Yeah, that's the major difference, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the major, like, difference, like, on paper. National League
the pitchers are P-words on the American League and don't hit the baseball.
They are. They're a bunch of little pusses.
It's too bad. During the All-Star game, do they have to hit the ball?
No, during the All-Star game, they do designated hitter. And then in interleague, they do it based off of what's – if you play nationally, you play National League rules. If you play in American League, you play American League rules.
Oh, interesting.
So it just depends on what stadium you're at.
Interesting. That all goes to the home team advantage. That's
yeah.
Literally a home team advantage.
It's for sure.
Well, thank you for listening to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Freaking remember to visit geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. While you're there, check out the other podcasts on the Geek Legacy Network. Of course, there is the Comic Corner, hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics currently on the pull list. A lot of them are fun. A lot of them are festive. Some of the books they read, though, are total shit. I'm not afraid to say that, because it's true. And then you also have the Pixelated Podcast, which has one or two sodomy jokes involved, but mostly it's about video games. And it's a blast. Of course, this week we're remembering Satoru Iwata, who passed away. Just 8-9 days ago, and that's just horrible. We're all part of the Nintendo generation, and that's just a damn shame. Anyway, remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on the Twitter there, at Geek Legacy, at Pixelated Pod, and at The Comic Corner, and you have a fun and festive week. We are back, and we are very excited about it. Thank you.